Is this embarrassing? Yes. Is it awkward? Yes.
No, bitch, it wasn't awkward until you made it awkward by saying awkward.
Ladies and gentlemen,
awkward.
Social podcast.
Hello, 1, 2, 3. It's nice to meet you, Jose. My name's Mickey G, and please don't look at my photos against you, mate.
All right. I have no interest in looking at your penis photos.
What's your Instagram handle, Jose?
It is @IamJoseChavez.
All morning.
I am
Jose Chavez.
These headphones are too big for me. I have been told I have a very small head before.
You can tighten those up if you like.
Oh.
There you go. Now I have a massive head. Yeah. This is... I have to put my hair back in a ponytail like this every now and then to show people that it's not a lot of hair. It's just a lot of head.
It's just head.
It's head. It looks like I have a thicket of hair, but when you flatten it out, you're like, oh, it's skull. I suffer from a rare disease called scoliosis.
Oh, you don't know that.
Yeah. No, I mean, I made it up, but it's a...
Oh, yeah. Make sure you pass if you want to...
Oh, yeah, that's all right.
Yeah, I thought you guys were comics. Come on.
But I was in Tokyo at the airport, and they had this, massages. And I was like, hell yeah, I've just done like a, I don't know, 12-hour flight or something. And we were there for 7 hours before we were flying to Detroit. So I was like, I'm going to get a massage. And on the way walking to them, there were two ladies, and they were laughing at what I assumed at me because there was some pointing that had happened. And I was like... oh, this is weird. And I said that to my partner at the time. I was like, I think they're laughing at me. And then when I got to the actual massage thing and they realized, oh, shit, she's here. Like they both of them were like kind of freaking out and looking really embarrassed. And they were like, oh, we're so sorry. You just have very small head.
Oh, my goodness.
And I was like, oh, okay. I didn't know what to say. I was just like, thank you. Could I get a massage, please? Like, what are you supposed to do?
I guess just embrace it. I mean, what do you do with that information? Although I would rather have your situation.
A small head?
Yes, very much so. More hat options.
Maybe buy a small hat so it makes your head look bigger.
A tiny hat model. Hat.
Well, they have those one size fits most hats.
Yeah.
I don't fall under the most category. Like, it's always like they have the thing where the last snap, and then I can only put on the last one, and it does this kind of little wobbly thing behind my head. It doesn't look good, and it's not the hair. If I have short hair like
you could do that, the thing the girls do and pull your ponytail through the little hole.
Oh, I could definitely.
Or buy the new hats out with the hole already at before the ponytail. Like, you can buy the hats with the hole.
Yeah. You need this.
I reckon you would look awesome with a bandana, Jose.
I would.
Bandana, yeah.
It's bandanas are making a comeback.
Yeah.
I just got to find the right color.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to choose a gang, and then once I find it, yeah. A red? Yeah. Do you think red would look
definitely
good on me?
Definitely red.
Yeah?
You're thinking red for him?
Okay, so I'm part of the
Bloods. Is it because you've got red hair, so then you're like, yeah, be on my team?
By the way, that's the first thing I noticed when you were all at the bar last night. I'm gonna bring this back a little bit, because I did start recording. You're going to hear me sound professional for about 20 seconds.
Cool.
Woo. Just 20 seconds. This is the part where I get a little like, oh, I'm going to be Mr. Fantastic, adjust my tie kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Ahem. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Awkwardly Social Podcast. My name is Jose Chavez. Thank you so much for downloading this episode. How did that sound? That sounded
great.
Totally sounded professional.
Fantastic.
Yeah. All right. So I'm going to go ahead and introduce my guests. I'd rather have you guys introduce yourselves because I still haven't fully learned all your names.
Yeah. I'm Simone Springer.
All right.
You want me to tell you things about myself or should we just move along?
Let's introduce everybody and then I'll break you all down.
Janie.
Hi, I'm Jane, also known as Miss Obscene.
And I'm Mick from Australia. Hello.
Yeah. I have, okay. When you guys got to the States, how long did it take for somebody to do your accent back at you?
I don't think anyone's really done it this trip.
Yeah, it happened to me at the dime bar last time. Like, it was a couple of days.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. People were just saying how much they like the accent, and I'm trying to convince them that I don't have an accent. Thanks.
I've had people comment on it and say, like...
is it New Zealand or Australia?
Yeah, they're trying to figure out if we're from New Zealand or not. And they've got me to say it. They're like, it's all wrong. See, can you talk to me, like, what do we sound like? So it's more people ask us to do your accent.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is easy. You just add a lot of A's and R's. Like, hey, how are you going?
That's actually pretty good. That was very East LA.
All I can do, because most of the people I've known have been from LA. So it must be LA.
So best I can tell, it wasn't until Flight of the Conchords that people started being like, New Zealand. Okay, there's another one.
Yeah, and then New Zealand exists.
So people are being confident about it. It's like when people first find out that there's more than one Hispanic person, then suddenly like, sir, please, he's not Mexican, he's Salvadorian. So they get that kind of like weird false sense of confidence for it. So with you, they can't quite tell if it's going to be one or the other. I think enough time has separated us from Steve Irwin that there is sort of a less of a stereotype that is there, and people are still now trying to figure it out, because there isn't, like, I would say with maybe Chris Hemsworth or something would be the staple for it. So
because we've been famous for things like Crocodile Dundee and Steve Irwin, so everyone thinks that country, that really has a gown kind of, but in the cities it's not like that, and that's where most people are.
Also the fact that, you know, Mick Dundee, my name's Mick, and my mum's name's Mick as well. So a lot of people in Australia are called Mick. So it's a very common name.
Is it?
Yeah.
Well, I didn't know if Mick, I always just assumed it was a nickname. She's nodding no, she's laughing.
Well, he's Michael, so it is a nickname, but that becomes your name in Australia. And it's like, I'm Simo, like Simone. This is Jano, and that's Miko.
Australians just like to add an O.
I like it.
Yeah,
I like it, because it's what Americans do, or specifically white people, when they are at making something into a Spanish word. Oh. You know, because a lot of Spanish words are very male and female, so ending with an O or an A. So a lot of times they'll be like, Sir O, you know, like when they're trying to do a translation thing, when they're speaking to somebody who doesn't speak English, like, excuse me, O. I'm like,
Does it help at all?
Oh, God, no. That's offensive. No. It's definitely offensive.
I find that offensive.
It's so great, but I enjoy it. I enjoy watching a person kind of eye me back and forth, like, does he speak English? Well, like, who am I dealing with right now?
Yeah.
And you know, then I explain to him, like, look, I was born and raised here. I this is the way I speak. You know, don't worry, you're safe.
That happened to me in Nice in France, where I went to get accommodation, and I was trying to speak in French to just order a room for two, and I was struggling for like about 5 minutes, and in the end this bloke says, oh, you want a room for two, mate? He was an Australian as well, but he was just enjoying watching me struggle in French.
It's so great too. It's fun to watch it. I had a friend who was, we were having a conversation. This is somebody who I say friend, like, this is somebody I recently started talking to, a comic. And she's doing a show that I'm producing tomorrow. She's like, oh, you're like Gabriel Iglesias. I'm not saying that you're like him because you're Hispanic, or you're not like him because you're both like Hispanic men, and started like backpedaling. Don't worry. I'm like, I'm not offended. It's fine.
You should have been like, is it because I'm hot?
I should have done that.
Because I can sing really well. Thank you.
You're thinking of Julio Iglesias.
Oh, see, I don't even... Wait, which one's Gabriel?
Fluffy, the big Hispanic comic.
Oh, I do know him. I got it all wrong.
He's really funny.
All the same to me. I did the same thing.
Although as soon as I got here, like, are you the same Chavez as the one in Vegas?
Oh, that's nice.
No, yeah. It's happened. I know who you're talking about, only because that's maybe the fourth time somebody's like, oh, are you guys siblings? Are you guys related? Or somebody thought I was him.
Oh, Matt from LA Comedy in Vegas, yeah.
Yeah, they were like, oh, dude, you live in California too? I was like, yes, I transported and got long hair.
And you're both very handsome, can I say?
Mm-hmm. Right now I look like I'm struggling, like I'm dying a little bit. So the podcast listeners, you guys can't hear it, but I had a fever about a few days ago. The fever broke a few days ago, and I've been fine ever since. The only problem is that whenever I start talking, I start coughing like crazy. So I'm like, you know what I'm going to do? Record a podcast where I talk a whole lot. So that's been going over great. Wow, this is a great coffee. I assume it's like just like the little packet kind or something.
I don't know. What is it, Janie?
I think it's from the droppings of a hyena in Africa, I think. Yeah, you know how they get animals to eat the coffee, then they boil the coffee afterwards.
Organic fair trade coffee is what it is, apparently.
The way you guys say these things, you sound so excited. Like, I can't wait to say an American thing. Like, it sounds a little bit like, I can't wait to talk about, I don't know, stocks and bonds and the Kardashians. Is there a stereotype you guys have about America that you like?
Yeah, just I guess that people are loud and opinionated.
America.
that's probably what you think about when you think Aussies. About yeah.
But that's changed since coming here. Like that's
oh
like
yeah, the people that's itself. The when tourists. You meet individual people, they're you know. They're
but that's
lovely.
The middle class, rich, white that come out. You know, rah, rah, we got so much money. We own you. You know, you got a war with us.
Yeah,
you
know, yeah.
If we
yeah.
want to go to war, you come along. Yeah.
That's yeah. 100% true.
Well, it is. It's like Iraq, and I mean, you guys invited us to go to invade Iraq, and. We're like, have you got any beer? And you said, yeah. And we said, okay, well, we'll see you there, right?
Yeah. So long as you got beer and not oil, I think we're going to be friends. That's yeah. what I understand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll always be friends.
I have friends who, obviously, you come here, you meet people that are from Australia here.
Yeah.
I grew up here, and most of my community was Hispanic. Like, I remember there was the first black guy on my block, and I was like, who is that? You know, like, I was curious about it. Went over. He and I became good friends. I had no idea that one of my friends wasn't Hispanic. I thought he was Hispanic. Found out later on he was white, and I didn't know he was white until I met his racist mother.
Yeah. Oh,
that's when I was like, oh, this is a little problematic.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, so and that's also how I learned what racism was. But the more time by the way, I'm not trying to bring anything down here. I'm just trying that's to be cool. The whole culture thing here is kind of amazing. But 100%, there is definitely pitfalls to it. Like. Everyone's opinionated. I'm sure I've already expressed my opinion a few times since I've been here.
Yeah.
I apologize.
Oh, I have like two kids and their school, like it's so multicultural. It's very close to the city in Perth. And my kids don't see color because they went to daycare from that was 6 months old. And it was like, you know, there's no like minority because everyone's a minority. Do you know what I mean? Because yeah. There's not that many white kids. There's not that many, like, you know, there's all different, like, kids from all different Asian countries.
We have that in the military, too.
Lots of different, yeah. And
everybody
lots of black
wears
kids
green,
from all
right?
different countries.
Doesn't matter where you're from. Everybody wears green. Everybody's doing the same job. Yeah, same everybody's thing. Digging the same hole. We're all on the same level. That was the one thing I liked about the military is that there is no levels, right? There is no...
Everyone's the same.
Yeah.
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 Do you guys have a lot of Hispanic people out there?
No, I don't think so.
Only one friend.
Sadly, no. Yeah. We don't have anything.
So, can I stay with you guys? Is that what's going
yeah,
on?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, definitely.
This is just an interview for
we
me.
We have one now. Yeah, yeah.
We have one.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, I have a friend who came here from Kentucky, not too far, like in the States. It was a culture shock for his family when they came to visit, and his closest friend it was me. They were like, oh, here. And they tried to hand me their luggage. No, that didn't happen, but I just wanted to see that.
You're watching us cringe. Yeah.
Yeah, it's fun. I enjoy doing this because, I mean, you may be Australian, but you're white. So, like, there is sort of like this all-encompassing thing that's not like, that's not my perspective. What I'm saying is, like, there's always this, like, delicate, like, am I being offensive right now? Or if you're telling me. So there's that vulnerability to it, and I enjoy exposing that because the more uncomfortable you are with it. This podcast is called Awkwardly Social. I try to make you guys a little bit uncomfortable, but at the same time, it makes you more comfortable in the environment, right?
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's good.
Tear the walls down.
Mm. Yeah, I did where was I? I was up in Yosemite. This was a non-comedy thing. I was up there with my buddy who works for Canon. And they did this amazing thing where people would travel from all around the world who would pay to stay out there in Yosemite. And then they would learn these new cameras that would come out. And we would give them these nature tours, check out everything, a lot of bears. There was these two guys from the UK. And I think mostly because a lot of the comedy that I would watch was from out there, there wasn't as much of a barrier as far as language. Like even though they mm-hmm. speak the same language... their accents would be thicker, so you know you can't understand certain people's accents, and I understood them just fine. So I got along with them really well. You know, at some point I don't know how, but they started calling me a beaner, and I started calling them a cracker, and then I was like, no, you guys are British, you're crumpets or something. It was like something really stupid, but we were being like a polite, friendly version of racist towards one another where we didn't mean it, and I think that came from a conversation we're having about sort of accepting certain things. And, you know, it was all in good fun. I don't think that's not, I can't do that with everybody, but it was the conversation or the events, the occasion just kind of called for it. And this guy was saying these things to us. His wife was watching the whole thing, and the look on her face was like she just watched him go off on a Hispanic child. Like the trauma in her face was like, I can't believe you just said that to this guy. And then she's yelling at him and screaming at him because she's not a part of this conversation. So she has no idea that he and I have like the inside joke kind of thing going on. Yeah. And me and his buddy, you know, with three of us, are just having a laugh. And I'm enjoying this. And then I sort of escalated a little bit more because I enjoyed watching her sink into herself, watching this, like, I don't know. She was like, oh my God, it's true. We are terrible people. Like, you know, like that kind of, I was worried they were going to get a divorce. So I had to explain to her afterwards. I was like, no, your husband's not a terrible person. We were just having fun. So I enjoyed doing that, especially for people who, I assume this isn't your first trip based off of what you've said, but
yeah,
but you know, I enjoy that. So you guys, are you all three of you comedians?
Jane here, she has special skills or whatever.
Yeah, I'm more of a sideshow kind of freak, so I do the glass eating, fire eating, dancing, better nails.
She can put mouse traps
on my private parts and my tongue.
and she can stick a lot of things in her nose.
4.5 inches into my nose, easy.
So drills, scissors.
Anything from a hardware store, I like to walk around and be like, oh, I'm going to try and shove that in my nose.
Yeah.
We go through a lot of tissues.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How did you, was this like an accident you discovered, or were you just kind of like, you know what, I just want to get this end of the vacuum hose and just put it in there?
I think in year four, I started snorting the instant noodles. I would take them to school and snort them through my mouth and bring them out on my nose and bring them out my mouth and do the floss.
Uh-huh.
And I came, I think, to Venice Beach, and I saw a man, and he would put a hook through his nose. And I do that to get stuff through on the daily. And I thought, I didn't know my disability was a thing. So I did it. I started doing it, and I started escalating what I could put down there. So I think my 5-inch nail drill is the biggest.
Yeah, so it was actually here at Venice Beach that she realized, oh my gosh, there's people who perform doing this.
Yeah, because I already did the fire and everything, and I thought, I did not know putting things in your nose is a thing. So, and I realized it's called blockhead, and I think blockheads don't actually like being called blockhead. There was a better name for it, but I think everywhere's just started calling it blockhead. So,
yeah. But watching her, so I've watched her, and now I know that I can do it. So we have these big nails just from watching like the angle, and I'm like, I wonder if I'm capable of doing it, and I could, and now I'm like, but really, I leave it to her. So yeah. We're still like, I'd prefer just to do the talking.
We are sideshow sisters, so we do shows together that do circus and like magic. And we also have a show called Silence of the Labia.
Yeah, so it's basically like I'm the mouth and she's the vagina. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. So think about trying to guess actors and everything down there with our props that we put on it. And
yeah, it's like a quiz, but we do other things. We do vagic.
Yes,
which
we
is
do
basically.
Vagic.
I can make so many things disappear or reappear.
Yeah.
Do you forget about something and then you're surprised when it reappears?
Yeah, I'm like, oh, I can use this now. Like, oh, I save this for later.
It's not like you put a puppy in and a cat comes out. It's nothing like that. You know?
Well, not like that, but like you're taking a shower one day and all of a sudden you're like, oh, damn it. You know,
like just, no, well, oh, well
I forgot
it
that
is,
was in there.
I was right. It was four balls.
You know? It is all magic, so it's never really what it seems.
It's,
yeah.
It's funny because I do the video and I have blokes sitting next to me saying, oh, you must have the best seat in the house. And actually, you know.
Yeah, he zooms in. He's our,
he's gotcha. Our projector man. Projector that gets man.
Is that the photo you found on his phone earlier at when you were reviewing?
No, unfortunately, it's not. Yeah, good one, Mick.
We were taking a group photo just before recording, and then there was a review of the photo, and there was a surprise in there.
I slid too far, and now I've
never
seen
scroll
Mick's dick.
On someone's
oh, that
phone.
Rhymes too.
Mick's dick. That
Mick,
sounds.
I've never seen you blush and look more awkward. He, yeah, he's
Mick,
always.
Mick's dick does sound like a new drink.
It was
like a
it was
meal.
For medical purposes.
Was it now? Okay, that's fine.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so my doctor, he had to have a look.
See if those sores were legit or not.
Perfect.
It's like a nasty. Yeah. See, I didn't look quick enough. I very quickly swiped and handed the
There was nothing
back.
To see, so it's okay. See,
I don't know. I mean, I assume based off of living together, like, or staying or traveling together, it happens eventually. You guys,
No, we're pretty good. Usually we stay. I think this is the first place we've stayed where we haven't had two bathrooms.
Yeah,
so
it is.
Jane and I bunk in and mix. Like, we've been really lucky. We've had like what are they called? En suites.
Yes.
So it's been, yeah, it's been.
Oh, I can walk around nude because everyone's seen me naked.
I was going to say that. In saying that, we've all seen Jane's parts, so like it doesn't really matter.
Times, yeah.
But you know, it's different when it's not on stage.
Gotcha.
Is it though?
She's just pouring you coffee.
My best friend.
You want
friend,
some milk with it?
Yeah.
My best friend Monique gets really awkward Snapchats from me backstage, putting googly eyes and props down there, and videos like, just of my vagina. Just, hey, Mon, this is what we're doing backstage. She's like right next to me as well, though, so it's not really a surprise that when she opens her Snapchat, she's like, whoa.
That's. Yeah. See, that's Snapchat premium right there. That's what mm-hmm. that is. You should it charge is. For that.
Well, she does adult just,
yeah,
modeling.
Yeah, I've just started doing a Patreon kind of thing and doing the Snapchat premium. It's taken off pretty well.
What if you became the googly-eyed vagina person? Like, what if that was your staple?
Oh, that stuff's just on stage. Oh. So yeah. we try not to give too much away so that it's...
Oh, Jose, you should have seen this one time. The girls put the eyes on, and then during the set, one of the eyes fell off. And because it's in Zoom, it just brought the house down, right? So those improv moments are just classic.
Yeah.
Also, Simone has poked me in the clitoris on stage without realizing.
I had no idea. So she's just trying to stay like poised,
perfectly nice and still.
And then I that's what happened. I went to put a prop on, and I apparently missed.
So you flicked the bean and suddenly
she flicked
it became
the bean
a
and I did a
no,
squeal.
No, no, like I poked it, so it was
with
unpleasant.
Her nail. I don't know if you can look at her nails.
Oh yeah,
that's
oh, yeah.
what got me that's right it, in.
Oh, that seems very unpleasant right there.
Oh, it is. And my best, one of my friends from football. I play football in Australia, so it's similar to your kind of footy, but without the guards and stuff, like the headpieces.
No, no head. Helmet
and no shoulder pads. And my friend Kayla, she came and she didn't believe that it was my actual vagina on stage. So afterwards, she's like, "Oh, can I have a look?" And I lifted it up. Well, I had no underwear on. I put my leg up, and I didn't realize I was gonna get touched. And it, let's just say, it went from looking to third base. I think it's called when you slip a finger in. And oh, I screamed. I was like, I've never had that done to me before.
Did she think you were wearing like a fake, like
yes,
a cut,
she did.
Like a false one
she
over
was
it?
Telling everybody, mine doesn't look like that. Why does Jane's look like that? That's
yeah,
fake.
She's got like her vagina's got a following. Like
it does. I get lots of females going, wow, I didn't know that they come in all shapes and sizes. So I need to print a chart out and have a editorial of like the 25 different. I'm using my foot to
you're
point.
Using, yeah, it's great.
I'm a contortionist, so I do a lot of things.
If you had a laser pointer, you'd be able to like properly put on a presentation right now.
Exactly.
That's your next trick. Put a laser pointer in your vagina and then show people a report.
Well, I do the better nails. We do the Kama Sutra. So we have a sheet and we point to the different positions that the crowd wants us to do on the better nails. Mm-hmm. Gets a good reaction, but the man who is ever on stage with me never gets on it. So everyone who gets to vote, they always want to see reverse cowgirl.
Oh, gotcha.
And he's like, no way. Yeah. No.
Yeah. And every guy that has had come on stage with the better nails has got their pants like slit there and there on top of their thighs.
It's actually really educational because at one part of the show there, the Simone gets a bloke up to name the 8 different parts of the vagina. I've had women tell me that they didn't even know the name of some of those parts. So
yeah.
I don't think anybody's passed. Probably one guy's probably passed.
It's fun. We just laugh at people.
And we have a cheat sheet.
I don't know them. I know there's a labia and a
majora.
No,
labia majora.
Yeah, labia
no,
minora.
No, labia and the majora are two different things.
Yeah.
And then
there's
the
clitoris, the perineo.
Which ribs?
What else have we got? The mons pubis.
This is a little lower.
The funny bone.
The husband.
Yeah. It's you just gotta flip through the pages and you'll find it all. Yeah. I don't know anything. I act like I know what I'm talking about here. And your job is to handle the camera. Are you just the videographer, or do you get involved in the show as well?
Well, I'm good friends with the girls, so they invited me to do camera, and I just do what they asked me to do. Do the setup, do the zoom in, do the shuffle with the different shows.
Yeah.
But it's just a lot of fun. I just like hanging out with these two ladies. They're just loads of fun, and the show itself, even though it kind of comes across as explicit, it's really classy. It doesn't come across as sleazy, dirty, or anything like that. It's actually a lot of fun. Everyone has a good time.
Yeah. So I had this when I had the idea. It was actually started off as a bit, like a comedy bit, and then I was like, that would actually make a really good show. And then I started writing it from there. But the idea was like to not make it sexy. Like every time you see like, you know, girls' bits, it's got to be sexy or they're making some kind of, you know, point. It's got to be like controversial and it's none of those things. It's just funny. So the idea is to break it down and it just to be funny. So we've had guys say to us before, that they were disappointed.
Because it wasn't sexy. Because it wasn't sexy enough.
And they were like, oh, well, I went to burlesque. I guess that's what I thought that it would be sexy. And I was like, oh, did you not like the show? And they were like, oh, no, it was really funny. I just didn't think that it was going to be that. And we're like, yeah, that's the whole point is it's comedy. So
is that why you guys are here? Are you guys traveling with this? Is this the kind of thing where it's just
taking No, we're not. We just did Perth Comedy Festival. This is us on holidays. But gotcha. Yeah, holidays. But we just did Vegas and I did like four shows on my last night. So
I was coming out on holidays and then Simone went, because we came out last, we had such a good time. And then I said to Simone, I'm booked. I'm going back to the US. I had such a good time. And she said, hang on, I'm coming too. Yeah. And then Jane said, I'm coming too. So we're all here having a great time. I know it's been the best time. It's been great.
Now, did you get the bookings while you were out here, or is that something you sort of planned out ahead?
Some things were planned ahead, and some have been like last minute. So, the last one that I've got in LA is doing Hollywood Improv on the 30th, which is exciting.
That's awesome.
Yeah. But yeah, there's a few that we just kind of swung when we were here. Like the last one in Vegas that we did, we got to do LA Comedy Club, me and Mick, and that was that was great that we got to do that with Butch, because Butch Bradley is amazing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Properly amazing. You know, when you're like, just tears the roof off the place.
It's like what you want to aim for. It's like, I want to be like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, for sure.
And no, you didn't show your vagina the whole show?
No, I never do. No. That's not my, as we said, she's the vagina, I'm the mouth. Mm-hmm. So I do all the talking.
And yeah. I have not shown it over here yet, no.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
I have done the blockhead and the sideshow stuff over here, but not.
That was going to be my next question, because I feel like as open as we claim to be about everything, you got to find very specific places. I think like even more, you can't go to a fully nude strip club if they serve alcohol.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's something weird. Like, yeah, like certain people have special permits, I believe.
Yeah.
But like here in California, it's like you could do the topless and they can have a full bar, but you can't have a full bar and be completely nude. I don't think it's a prudish thing. I think it's they just don't trust this
for safety.
Maybe yeah. I mean, I think they think like if a man is drunk enough, a woman won't be safe with underwear on.
Yeah,
with underwear off. So I don't know the whole thing about it, but I assume that would be sort of a hard thing to travel with here. Is that ever like in a plan for you guys or?
I did find that at the Sapphire, like they weren't totally naked when the alcohol was flowing.
Yeah.
And people have told me exactly what you've said.
Well, guys here are very forward as
they
well.
Are,
in Australia,
yeah.
It's not quite like, you know, we're at a bar and
I say, yeah, nah, and they walk away because yeah, nah means no.
Yeah.
Over here, yeah, nah doesn't fly.
Yeah, you can tell guys that you have a boyfriend. You can tell them that you're a lesbian. Nothing puts them off. It's like really hard to get rid of guys.
The term is predatory, I think.
Yeah.
I saw it firsthand myself. Blokes my age who have got money and they use it as a leverage to get laid. And it's really sad, man.
Yeah, it's definitely the culture here. I mean, here's the thing. I don't have money, so I have no leverage. Mm. So it's very difficult for me.
Oh, you have to rely on a personality.
Oh no!
I said that to these guys. I was like, "There's all these guys that are showing off all their money," and I was like, "Such a shame you can't buy a personality."
It is insane, but you know what? Out here, there are those who do it. Now, this is one thing that's always very difficult because I meet a lot of comics especially when I first started doing this comedy. When I first started performing, I would meet people who were so. They had been doing it for so long that they have these, I don't know if you have this expression out there, chuckle fuckers.
No. Yeah. I know what you're talking about, but we don't use that term.
It's essentially a groupie, but it's one specifically for comedians.
Yeah.
So if a comic is, you know, if there are certain audience members who will go and see a bunch of different comics, and then they'll try to take them home. They're such fans of the comedy that they will hook up with them, and then there are those who are known for it. So,
oh, wow.
When it happens with, like, say, even just, I think, one person who has, like, you know, if a guy is trying to talk to a woman,
yeah,
and she's not interested, but then he gets on stage and he does this comedy and he can charm her.
Yeah.
And suddenly she's interested in him. Rather than saying, like, okay, all I have to do is just have a better personality, they think to themselves, if I can just have her watch me on stage, then the panties will come clean off and it'll be ready to go. And then over time, they perceive everybody as a chuckle fucker. It's like the staff at the club, the friends of the family, the girlfriends, the significant others of the other comics. It's insane how that happens. And there's several exceptions to it where not everyone's like that, but yeah, there it is definitely way more prominent. I see you doing little gestures. You're gonna go smoke. Is that what it was?
Yes.
Okay, that's fine. I don't know if I need to keep that a secret for you guys.
No.
It's
all over my IG.
Yeah. Okay,
perfect. Yeah, and I brought you guys two beers, which you can divvy up between. Oh, actually, no, you don't drink, so you guys.
Yeah, I'll drink them.
The beers look awesome.
Yeah, it's this place called The Dude's Brew, and they have a few different locations out here. I produce a comedy show for them, and they keep giving me beer. I'm not a beer drinker,
yeah,
so I usually give my beer to my guests. So I'm like, you know, so they know I'm like, I don't drink beer. They give me the beer, and they explain to me what it is. So when I give it to the person, I can explain it. No, thank you. But when I give it to the person to explain it, I never remember it, so I just kind of make it up on the spot. But Dude's Brew, if you guys are ever in Santa Monica, Santa Clarita, Thousand Oaks, yada yada. That was a really good plug, right? You liked it?
You did very great. Yeah. You did great.
It was very, I committed to it.
Come on, yeah, mate. Beer drinkers will get on board, mate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, here's the thing. I'll talk to you real quick directly. Women, take a break.
Sure. You want a beer?
No. So, yeah, in the times you've been here, you've seen a lot of this kind of stuff. Like, you see it, would you say that you see it here more than anywhere else? And like, not just California, obviously, but in the States, in terms of like how scummy dudes can be.
The last trip was pretty good because the dynamic was two blokes and one female, so it was kind of pretty cool. But this time I'm with two females, and the blokes are just coming out of woodwork. Mm. The level of desperation for them to get laid is kind of like it's like on a pity level. I feel sorry for them to have to go to that far, but I'm wondering whether they even got to see the Me Too campaign. You know, this we're trying to get the respect back up for ladies. We're supposed to, you know,
yeah,
start picking up the slack. So I'm kind of a little bit surprised that they're not on board. And yeah, like they're relentless.
Well, the follow-up campaign to that, which wasn't really a campaign, but it was just too many. It was too coincidental.
Okay.
Not all men. That was the response.
Yeah.
Rather than saying, you're right, this is what we need to do, we need to change, people started saying things along the lines of like, well, I don't do that. So, you know, you just don't worry about me. I'm the one you can trust. I'm your safe space. And then rather than just being that person to use that voice and saying, hey, other guys, stop being assholes. You know, they don't use that. Instead, they just immediately go, hey, everybody, come and take a look at me and how great I am. Yeah. So that way you can trust me. Hey, you trust me, right? So you know how you like showing vaginas? Why don't you just show it to me? Like, that is a thing.
Yeah,
I didn't mean to you directly, by the way. I said that and I made eye contact and I immediately felt remorse. I'm going to put out a statement and just let everybody know.
Yeah, no, I get guys, like, especially with the Patreon kind of thing, like guy mates and that, expect me to send them free nudes. Mm. It's like, you know, no, pay me.
She had somebody send today saying, oh, I'm an exhibitionist too. And she had to respond and say, look, I'm not an exhibitionist. It's my job. Like, this is, it's just money. And she said, lol, no freebies.
That's smart. Now, do you have people who send them to you? Like, I mean, I assume you probably.
The unsolicited dick pics? Yes. I have a nice gallery saved of them for backup. Yeah.
You literally should say them. There's a comedian here who she started a Dickaposh for penises. Like, she just a collection of them. And I think she was even putting them and printing them onto like a coffee table.
D- Do you know what would be amazing? I just had this amazing thought. You could like use, you know, Photoshop and Photoshop their heads over the actual heads of each one and just have like, you know, that's what they are. They are, you show them as the dicks that they are.
But yeah, exactly.
That's genius. I love that. But you use the exact face that they have in that photo. So the face that they made to get that erection and to retain that erection, that like over concentrated kind of like
the orgasm face, like they're having a stroke, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Choking the chicken.
Well, exactly. Like there's that face you make. Like sometimes you see somebody studying so hard or they're just so committed to their video games. You're like, now I know what it looks like when you masturbate. Like now I know.
I think mine's like this.
Yeah, like the look when they get caught by their mum, right?
Yeah, the other thing that's really shocking is there's a lot of married men. I don't think marriage means anything in America. Maybe it doesn't anywhere, but you notice more that, you know, you'll be having a conversation and they'll say that they're married and you're like, oh, good. So this is like you feel safer, I guess, to just have like a chill conversation. And then they start coming on to you and you're like, oh, like we accidentally got here because I felt like...
You like I trusted you.
Yeah, yeah, that's it.
I even put this ring on my married finger, like here, and I had a guy go, show me, and he took it off, and he was like, get a new husband, that's a really shitty ring.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
That's a power mover. That's I just interrupted you to say it's a power. I use my power as a power move.
Power move.
Sure. She don't need to worry about those words. No, but you're. It's insane. I see. So, I am an. I'll say an only brother, but I'm not an only brother. Well, technically, I am because I have all sisters. Oh, yeah. So, I guess only brother would be a new term. If you're the only male in the family of the siblings, just call yourself the only brother. So. I'm the only brother, and I see this shit all the time. And one thing I used to do is, like, I'd be walking with my sisters, and the guy would be checking them out. And he doesn't know me, so he doesn't know that I'm very forward with what I say. Mm-hmm. And I'd be like, hey, Jessica, this guy's checking out your ass. And just, you know, and then he just kind of gets all panicky, and she's just like, oh, my God, Jay, what are you doing? And I'd just, you know, be like, hey, Wendy, this guy's trying to look at your boobs. Can you turn a little more, please? Like, and I do this, and I make the guy as uncomfortable as possible.
My mom actually does this when we go shopping together. She's like, Jane, walk in front. I want to have a show, like, because people stare at me. Mm-hmm. And in the end, it gets my mom that angry. She'll sometimes hand them a Polaroid of me or, like, take a photo, you know, last longer, or fuck off. You don't know what my mum's going to say. She's really short, tiny, blonde head, like, innocent.
Little feisty one, but like, really like mean. Her.
Does she have a lot of Polaroids of you that she does this?
No, only the ones that I give her from me. I'm like, here you go, mom.
I just picture her just surprising you with a Polaroid and then giving it to a man. So like every photo, you're just like, ah, you know, like startled.
That is a good idea. I'm going to start a sleeping photo collection of Simone, though. Yeah. Because this woman is like Cinderella. She goes to bed. I'm not kidding you. She sleeps with one hand under her chin and the other at the side of her face with a big smile. And it's really creepy and alarming.
I don't know what I look like. So
you wake up and you're like messy and you're drooling a little and you look over at Simone and she's all poised in bed and you're like, what the fuck is this? It's fucking 3 o'clock and it's looking like that.
One of you is like, dude, can somebody put a sheet on her? Like, don't worry, the birds that flew in are covering her.
Yes, right, exactly. That's what it feels like. I look at me in the mirror and I'm like, what is happening? Like, why aren't I like that?
I wake up looking.
She wakes up like she's ready to go straight to the casino.
That's so great.
Thanks, guys.
I wake up looking like somebody was strangling a pumpkin and it was about to explode. Like, I wake up like I just finished getting strangled.
A hot mess.
Yeah, it is terrible.
And the pumpkin soup.
Yeah, it's just like, oh my God, what is going on here?
But it's weird because she said to me that she wants to start taking photos of me and there's like nothing I can do because I'm asleep. So I'm like,
but is that creepy? Am I the creeper now? Like, am I the one?
Here's what I'll say. I mean, first of all, you're explaining this to her ahead of time, so it seems like you guys have
a unique
agreement amongst one another.
We do not have consent.
No, hold on. Let's dial it back a little bit. You're the mouth. She's the vagina. I feel like the vagina has certain exclusivity and freedom to be able to do something, because she's not showing anybody anything inappropriate. She's just showing
people. She's seen my vagina, so like there is that. When we first started, like she's
but Simone forgot this.
Yeah, I blacked it out. It's a traumatic event for me.
Uh-huh. Because I got approached and I said, yes, I'm all keen to do this show, but I sat in the mirror looking at my bits.
She didn't understand how it was going to work.
How do I make it look like a mouth? It doesn't look appealing. It looks really weird. Mm. So I went
and
over.
And so like I've tried to explain to her, and we've got her in the mirror, and I'm trying to like point, okay, this is where this needs to go. She couldn't get the angle right. She couldn't comprehend what I was doing, and I was like, I got to that moment where we'd been going in circles for like half an hour, and I was like, oh, look, fuck it. And then I've gone, this. And so I've literally put the props on and I'm like, do you see it? And she was like, oh my God, yeah. I get it. Yeah. Like she got it. And then like
– and then I did it straight away. I was like, yes.
And then a little way something happened and somebody was talking about it, and Jane was like, your vagina looks exactly like – Simone's vagina looks exactly like my vagina, or something along those lines. And I was like, wait, how would you know that? And then – and she was like, remember I saw it and I had blacked it out. I was like, oh my God, I forgot that I had to do that. Like, because like I didn't want to – and then I'm like, oh, you have to. I forgot.
Yeah.
We have to is the wrong
now,
word.
Now she tells everybody – it's like, I've had to accept this occurred.
I'll send you this specific clip of the story after I post the episode, so you can use this story and just post it on Instagram, and then you can just share it with everybody. Yeah. It'll be a universal thing. I hope that's it. Now, did you have to show them anything? Did you have to like put anything on your penis and just kind of be like, this is what it looked like if it could play the kazoo?
No, not at all, actually. I'm just a guy in the shadows, just helping the ladies out. That's all with the video. Yeah, I don't get involved any other than that. That's it.
Okay. And he does He does
takes
stand
his
up
trench
in his
coat
own
off
right,
every
though.
Now and then, don't you, Miko?
Yeah, I'm kind of like their surrogate dad, so yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Daddy feels, without the daddy.
It
just
feels
the
like it this time. Yeah, it's been
dad
weird.
Dad / security / video guy. Yeah.
So you're the muscle, you show up.
No, he's not the muscle. I'm the muscle.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
Miko couldn't even carry a table.
We had I'm part of another group called the Motherhood Comedy, and Jane was help. Jane and Monique and Mick, all of them like came to help out our show, and we needed to move heaps of tables, and they were really heavy, like maybe like 6 or 8 seaters. They were really wide.
Tables.
And so Jane's gone to Mick, give us a hand with this, and Monique had another side, and he went to pick it up, and he wasn't fast enough or whatever it was, and she was like, just forget it, I got it myself. Like carried this table out.
It wasn't as heavy as the 2 bags I carried up 2 flights of stairs yesterday.
Hey,
for you ladies.
That's true.
Yeah.
I'll
call it even then, Miko.
And that's how you know it's a family.
Yeah, yeah, we are a family for sure.
We had like a little, like I said to him, because Miko doesn't have any children, I'm like, you're going to know what it's going to feel like having 2 daughters now. And last night, Miko's documents went under the couch, right? And I was a bit high. And I was like, I don't know if it happened or not. And I was like, Miko. And then we're like, no, Simo did it. No, Jane did it.
We're blaming each other like siblings. I'm like, I didn't do it. Jane's lost one of your pieces of paper.
I know, you made such a big deal out of something I didn't even care about.
Yeah. Because I was brought up and I used to get told off a lot, so...
Yeah, but I would say we're all pretty even on board. Like we're joking saying he's a dad, but he's not really. We're all even Stevens.
Yeah.
I would say if anything, I would be the mum, like sorting you two out. Like, here's what's happening. I'm setting the alarm for the morning. You guys have an hour to get ready. We're leaving at this time.
You're like a drill instructor in the army. That's what you're like, Simo.
It's like herding cats. That's what I say.
That sounds terrible, because you guys wake up looking, feeling terrible. She wakes up with birds holding up the rule books as she's like tells you guys what
fucking
to do.
Angel.
Yeah, it's true. Most of the time I do. Actually, there's been 2 times where I have not bounced out of bed. I have crawled out of bed. Since.
And we found that here, there is no spew places at the train station or the busport.
No.
So me and Sydney are like, there's nowhere to vomit, nowhere to vomit.
Yeah,
what
like,
do we do?
I say like once a year I'd go way too hard. I've done it twice while I've been here. So
here's a challenge, Jose. Get 2 really hungover ladies to the bus stop. on the bus with all their bags on time. That is the challenge of the day. It was
we
like
still
the amazing
made it.
Race.
It's one of those things I'll always make it, but it was really painful. It was such a painful ride all the way from LA to Vegas and all the way back from Vegas back to LA.
Well, Miko, because he's in the military, the army or was, got us a few bags. Like Gatorade.
Gatorade. He was prepared. On it.
He was on it.
Yeah.
And we come back from trying to spew and he's like, Lego, ladies.
Do you want us to? He just came back. He's like, I'm going to get you girls some liquids. And he came back with like bin bags to spew in. And we were just like, oh my God, you're the best. We didn't need them, but it was good to have them there because we weren't sure.
Now, you guys are like, I don't watch reality TV, but if you had your own show, I would watch the fuck out of this.
Hey. Hell yeah.
Very entertaining. It seems like a lot of fun.
We love the banter, Jose. We love the banter between one another. And that's an Australian culture thing. And yeah, like you were talking about your banter, mm-hmm. you know, with that family, right? Yeah. And that lady's going, oh, she's not realizing it's banter.
Yeah. I love it. I only recently got good at banter. I used to be really bad. The problem is that I learned how to be able to make fun of people before I learned how to socialize with them. So I would make a lot of inappropriate jokes, a lot of at other people's expenses, because most of my jokes, you heard them last night. I'm very self-deprecating.
Yeah.
So it's an equal opportunity insult. And I learned how to be insulting before I could be anything else. And then I had to, you know, re-educate myself as an adult. And now we can have a conversation. I'm sure at some point I've insulted each of you. And you're welcome.
Just be good at a roast. That's all. Be good at a comedy roast.
Yeah.
Have you done many of those roasts? Have you done a roast?
You know what? Not intentionally. I've done...
Not on stage? Yeah, you haven't done
You should do one. So, it's fun.
It's so fun.
They're great. So what I do when I get on stage, so I do a lot of crowd work. I do my material, but in between, I will talk with the crowd and I will play. And I've gotten good at making fun of the crowd to the point to where... it actually helps control like a heckler situation.
Yeah, that's what you need. Yeah, those amazing skills to have.
There was I only got to use that once since I've been out here, and it was our friend Jorge bought this guy called Kelly, and he was heckling all of the comedians, and he said that he wasn't going to because he knew us, but he did. And there was a point where I was asking if anybody had bought cards for their partners recently. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I bought one for my grandma. And I was like, that doesn't count unless you're fucking her. And the house down because he had been heckling the whole night. And I just put him in his place.
Now, is this a comic who was heckling everybody?
Just a regular guy. A guy with his shirt unbuttoned to his belly button. Mm-hmm. If you can imagine that.
Blonde.
And most of what he was talking to us about was the fact that he was in a like fraternity and all of his fraternity
stories.
Is that
like a frat thing? What is a fraternity?
Frat is short for fraternity.
Another comic.
Is that like Delta?
Delta.
Omega.
Yeah. It's what you... It's a house that how
because we don't have that in Australia.
No, it's just a bunch. It's an excuse. So you know they have a house that's dedicated to these kids. You got to join and get approved for it. They put you
like
through
a cult,
this rigorous thing. Yeah,
like a cult. It's a beer cult.
It's a beer cult. And then they split their time between studying and just being obnoxious assholes. Not everybody, by the way.
Yeah. Did you do this? Were you in a cult?
I was not. No. Oh. I got kicked out of the cult.
Did you?
Yay.
Yeah. I kept,
so they can kick
one
people
of
out.
Us. One of us.
I kept drinking the poisoned Kool-Aid way too early. No, I
thought that was a good thing in the frat.
I'm talking about an actual cult. No, I didn't go to college, so I never was at a frat.
Neither did I.
No, I did some community college. I learned English again, apparently, and that was about it. I took an acting class, and the entire time, the only thing the guy told me was like, lean into your stereotypes. And I was like, cool, you got it, buddy.
Ah, cool. Yeah.
And then he gave me my degree, and I peaced out.
I've only studied, novel writing, and I've studied investigative services because like for a while, like
PI.
I was a PI, which people are always like, what?
I am now PI now.
But he was in the military for like 29 years.
Are you guys spies? Like, is that what's going on here? Is that why you said
my
yes
ultimate
so
goal would be a bounty hunter?
Uh-huh. That would be your show.
Like, oh yeah,
imagine
Jane,
if you went to a new country, a new location.
Yeah.
Show everybody your vagina and then pack that shit up and go find somebody on the run.
Exactly. That is my plan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's how you draw the guy in, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my God. Be so, like, come see this free vagina show. Yeah. Oh, we will be right there. And then be like, by the way, who here is Stephen Miller? Stephen Miller, why don't you come on up here? We're going to do a magic trick. Here, see these handcuffs? Click. You're under arrest.
That vagina is the gateway to capture, right?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. You could only do it a couple of times before people would cotton on, though. But she does Muay Thai, so she's badass.
Yeah, learning Muay Thai, yeah.
Totally badass.
My goal would be to fight in a few years.
In a few years?
Next
dude, just
year.
Look, just get a little more drunk and go out to Hollywood and you'll fight somebody.
No. Oh, we've had times. We did Adelaide Fringe. We did our show out there, which is like the other side of Australia. And there was a guy that grabbed my ass and it took all of Jane's power to not beat the shit out of him.
I slammed on the table.
We literally just had a conversation about it and I was like, she was like, I would fucking tear them apart. And I was like, yeah, but it's not worth it, you know, if then you're the one that has like that.
I wouldn't be here if I did it.
Assault, yeah. If she has that assault charge.
If I have a criminal record, I can't come here.
So he did this and I'm looking at her and we're having a whole conversation with our eyes and I'm like, don't fucking do
but
it,
this
Jane.
This man had his hand in my face and he was calling me an insecure partner. She's not my partner.
Yeah.
You don't want two people with a warrant for the arrest in South Australia.
Yeah, Mick here actually couldn't come to Adelaide. He's got a warrant for his arrest. Because he beat up a pedophile in South Australia, which one of the comedians
allegedly
pedophile allegedly
assaulted the pedophile. Mm-hmm. Thank you. That was alleged. He's since passed away, Jose.
Not from Mick beating him
No, it was natural causes. Yeah.
Is that when he went back and finished the job?
But we've got a comic who's trying to sort that out for Mick so he can go back to
You've got a criminal South lawyer.
Australia. But that's so strange. So he can come over to the States, but he can't go to South Australia.
Because it wasn't significant. It was just a minor thing, allegedly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was.
Let's not forget allegedly.
Allegedly, right. Yes.
Yeah, by the way, I scooted that back. I didn't want it to spill. Well, you're at an Airbnb. If this spilled, I would feel bad about it.
I believe I own this place. No.
The Airbnbs are great out here.
They are.
I've never done one. I help take care of my friends a little bit, but it's really weird. So he gives me a call the other day. He's like, hey, this is going to be a little weird, but would you mind going and buying a plunger? And, you know, stopping by this place and going up to the restroom in the master bedroom, somebody kind of clogged it up. And we have some tenants coming in about an hour, and we really don't want it to go bad. And the cleaning people they hired to go found it, and they were like, we don't touch that. So they didn't do it. So I had to go and buy a plunger, take it over.
You're a good friend.
Take care of what was the worst clog situation I had ever encountered. I thought for sure somebody left behind a child. And
someone gave birth in that bathroom. Yeah. Yeah.
And So I took care of that situation, walked out. And as Sweet I was baby. Walking through the kitchen to grab a cup of water, the floors were so sticky because of the cleaning solution these cleaning ladies did. So then I brought out the Swiffer mop and then I mopped the kitchen for them.
Oh.
So this episode is brought to you by Swiffer. Swiffer.
I believe I don't know what Swiffer is, but I like it.
It's one of those. It's one of those mops where it has a built-in spray, so it has a container.
Is it steam?
They have a steam, but they also have one where it's just like a liquid. Carrying a mop bucket, you just press a little button on the handle, and it just does a little misty spray. And
can
then you
I
just
buy
over
it from a?
We have them in yeah, but you've got dogs. I feel like you need more than that.
Wow. They have I have one dog.
No, it's just a little spray, you know? Like, it's not like
I have a Chinese crest.
Okay, here's what's going to happen. After this episode's hairless. Over, I'm going to show you a few images or video of the Swiffer thing.
I would
so
like
you know
to
exactly
see them.
What I'm talking about. And I think they even have like a dog version where it has like a magnetic thing where it picks up the loose dander
that's
or something
good,
like that.
Can I just say my dog is a hairless?
Yeah.
A Mexican Chinese hairless?
Because I used to use it when I had one of the shops MAME and it used to get so dusty it was never enough.
But I'm also a dog groomer, so.
Oh, gotcha. You do it all, don't you?
I know, I have so many hobbies.
So here's what you do. You take a rag, you put it in your nose, you bring it out your mouth, that's how you dampen it up, then you use that to buff the dog.
I have used my dog to clean the floor once.
Oh, goodness. You just like put like attach it to a stick and you just like slide it around.
I just they like to lie on the floor.
Have you guys seen those cute like mops you can attach to babies and animals?
Well, no, I just pushed it in that general direction. Solution solved, or whatever that is called.
It's a
solved solution. I don't know.
Okay. While you guys were saying that, you were on your phone, and I was like, if you were looking at your own dick pic, but
I was deleting it. Thanks, Isaiah. Because
you had this look of like. Like, you know, like you're being very sneaky. You were looking at your own phone like you were going through someone else's. Like, that's how.
Oh, that was a look of repulse, Jose.
Oh, I get it. I get it, and I appreciate that. And I'm first of all, thank you guys so much. Is there a heart out you guys have? I want to make sure I don't keep you guys hostage for too long, so I know you're heading out.
Now we got nothing better to do. No. Tomorrow we leave for San Diego, so today we are wide open. Not quite as wide open as Jane on their show, but we are right out there. I'm now, so sorry.
Is this your first time in San Diego, or are you guys going? Have you guys been before?
No. Yeah. Oh, Miko's first time, but
we've both been
there.
Before.
We're staying with my family.
Yeah, Gas Lamp District.
Yes, we do.
I love Gas Lamp District.
So great.
It's just streets, blocks of like bars and restaurants.
I would live in San Diego if I could live in America
without casinos and without being able to like walk up and down the street with alcohol. It's essentially the closest thing in the regionally.
But I find their like Mexican Vegas food is amazing.
Yeah,
because
the Gas Lamp District, it's like party town.
It is. Very much. And the beach is right there. Like,
it's beautiful. Nice.
It's like perfect.
I once got paid to get drunk there. It was fucking amazing. Wow.
Wait, like why that. And how do we get on board with this?
Well, it wasn't quite like this. I was working a production job, and I'm not a union guy. So this company I would work with, a local studio, they would rent out their green screen stage, and sometimes they would like set up a different contract to be like, well, what if we use your equipment at a different location? So there was somebody who was shooting a local commercial for a restaurant down there, and then they paid us to go down to San Diego. They gave us a daily per diem, which is, you know, like allowance.
Yeah.
And then we would film, and then afterwards we were able to do whatever we wanted for the rest of the day. The thing is that what they needed to film, it was so simple to set up. We worked 1 hour each day for 3 days, and then they gave us a per diem, and they even fed us lunch. So ooh, that means that mm-hmm. they took care of our food, and then we would just use the money to go get drunk. Wow. And it did not
fuck yeah.
matter.
I mean,
you can swear. This is like this is the I fucking shit ass.
We've been talking about your vagina for how long, Jane?
I can't wait to get there because I've been told that San Diego is a lot like where we come from in Perth. Very coastal town, a lot of beaches, and just that kind of beach lifestyle.
Yeah, and the Gas Lamp District is like Northbridge because everyone's getting fucked up.
I want to go to Australia. I want to. Yeah. If I go, can I stay on each of your couches?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, you can come and stay with me, Jose. I'm on the coast, North Beach, so you're more than welcome to come and stay with me.
He has an outdoor bath.
Yep.
I want to use this.
And it's surrounded in, you know, trees.
You can walk to the beach.
Palm trees.
Oh, my God. I don't know what Australian trees are, but I assume the brushes
gum
are
gum trees.
Okay. I'm picturing like a palm tree, but the branches are like twisted to look like boomerangs. Well, like
that's where his bath is, it looks probably more tropical. He has like ropes hanging down. There's surfboards in his front yard.
I'm so ready to travel.
Or you can come to Armadale.
Yeah, yeah. She lives in the hood.
The ghetto.
I was going to say, I heard gunshots when she said that. I don't know if that's accurate, but that's what
that's
I heard.
Pretty accurate.
Yeah. I live in the hood
it
now, so
it might make
so
you
I'm
feel more like
well, there's home. No, but there's not a lot of gunshots because there's not a lot of guns in Australia. But people do get stabbed a lot.
Gunshots.
Yeah. So I live in, do you guys know the valley at all? The San Fernando?
Yeah, where
you
were at last night? Yeah, we know valley.
All right. So I'm from Pacoima. Yeah. And feel free to Google it if you want. There's a lot of violence. I grew up like, so it's a very weird setup where like one block will be very nice neighborhood, people taking care of everything. You go over one block and it's gang territory in these crimes. Me and my cousin were hanging out having a conversation. This like friendly looking gangster dude with a smile on his face just kind of walked by. He's like, hey.
Friendly.
He gets my cousin's bicycle, gets on it, and just takes off. Doesn't really mug us. He just takes it and doesn't say anything to us.
A polite mugging.
It was a very polite mug. I've been mugged there 3 times in my life.
It sounds like you're set with your tickets getting stolen at the, not time zone, but the American version.
Yeah. From your set last night.
Chuck E. Cheese,
night.
I believe.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yes.
It was a polite mugging. That was
super polite. I once convinced the mugger to give me back half of my money and my ID because I was
why only half? Like,
well, because I did figured if I asked for all of it, he wouldn't. You know, it's like if you ask for too much,
he kind of bartered it down.
This was another polite mugging. This guy comes up to me and he's like, "Hey," and they go, "Hey, man, what's going on?" I'm like, "Not much." And he goes, "All right," he brings out his knife. He's like, "All right, whatever you got." Whatever. I was like, "Oh man!" So I pull out my wallet. I was like, and at this point, it was my third time, so I was kind of used to it.
Yeah.
I'm like, "Look, dude. I'm not gonna have any money for a while. Can't you just have like a half of it?" Like, all right, fuck, whatever. So he gives me back. And it's like $20, whatever. No big deal. It's a small amount of money. I'm young. I don't know what money means. So I'm like, all right, cool. That'll hold me over for a month or whatever.
That was your third mugging.
That was my third mugging. And then I said,
that's alarming.
Like,
that's your third.
I was like, dude, you don't look like me. I'm like, it's going to be a pain in the ass. Don't make me go to the DMV. Can I have the ID back? He's like, yeah, fuck it. You're underage or whatever. So he couldn't use it to get into bars or anything. And then he's like, fuck it, just keep the wallet. And he fucking just tosses my wallet, and then he just takes half the money and leaves.
Wow. So I'm like, all right,
so very polite mugging.
A very polite mugging.
Well, so say you got mugged here, and you had nothing on you, like I normally have nothing on me. How does that go?
Not well. I have a buddy who got stabbed. I have a cousin who got stabbed. I have a neighbor who got stabbed. I know people who've been stabbed. I've been lucky where the only time I ever got stabbed was by my sister, and that was an accident.
I stabbed my sister once.
Oh, but yeah, but yours seems intentional. The way you said that seems so proud. Oh, I stabbed my sister once. You sold that with such confidence.
Was a tiny one in the hand, but she got in the way of my knife.
Oh, gotcha.
I'm going to just move with my knife like this. And if you get in my way, it's not my fault. Yeah,
it's a very Bart and Lisa Simpson.
It was exactly the same thing.
Yeah, my sister, I was like, hey, Daze. I'm like, she's like, what? She turned around. Like, oh, my God.
Where did she get you?
Right here. But yeah. It was fun. And then I still text her every now and then. And I'll be like, hey, do you remember when you stabbed me? I've done it like three times on this podcast.
You could like draw pictures every now and then and send it to her. I'd be like, yo, remember the time?
I'm disappointed that it didn't scar up. I'm disappointed that it didn't scar up. So she, but I'll text her every now and then. I'll be like, do you remember when you stabbed me? She'll be like, yeah. And it's, I enjoy making her feel bad about it. Even though it was nothing. And it was totally fine. I still enjoy pointing it out to her.
Yeah, you have to.
I saw something worse, actually, here at West Hollywood at a party we went to. Oh, it was North Hollywood, actually. And we were sitting around near a pool, having a pool party. And this dog just saunters up and takes a piss on one of the guy's feet.
Yeah. Just peed right on him.
So casual.
So funny.
It was like a dick stabbing.
And I just casually, I was sitting closest to him, and I just casually said to him, I'm like, that dog's peeing on you.
It and was like huge piss. Shit.
Yeah. It was surprising because I didn't think it was worth pissing on personally.
Or claiming as your own.
Yeah, it's bad.
Made a lot of things mine today.
See, here's the thing. Even when I heard that, I could picture you saying that to like, dog's pissing on you, and then the guy's going to be like, oh my God, are you from New Zealand? Like that would have been his only focus.
Yeah.
One track minds out here is what I'm getting at. Oh my God, you guys. That's a lot of fun. You know what? And I was saying this, I think kind of at the start of this is like, so the way I met you guys, the two of you last night, Mick, you were not there. How dare you? That was great. So
we were watching awesome comedy.
Yeah. So you, as comics, you guys probably, like you said, we're talking about, you know, the comedy scene out here. I don't know if you guys have the same kind of setup over there.
We do. I think that LA has like just a much bigger scene where we're smaller, obviously. Mm-hmm. And so you kind of know everyone, and the people you don't know are open micers, and, you know, like you might come across them once or twice and then they kind of disappear. Mm. But like the people who've been doing it a while and the people that get paid spots, you know all of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The comedy cafe scene is getting big in Perth. Hey? That's kind of been like an evolution that started like about 18 months, 2 years ago, where we do comedy in small coffee shops. They have 80 seats. They pack them out.
But see, this is the thing. Yeah, like 80 seats is good. Like we've come here to LA and there's rooms that will get like 10 people. And we don't have that in Perth. Like the smallest rooms, you know, you like even somewhere like Bass and Dean, where it's like, you know, one of the smaller non-professional sort of open mics, like, you know, they'd still get like 15 people in there. That most of the rooms would get like, you know, they're like 40 plus on like he was saying, in a small cafe that's like 80 people, they'll sell out 80 people.
Yeah See, we have so many things going on here that the smaller stuff gets overlooked. we have big shows. We have so many venues around here. I mean, from here you can walk to Hollywood and Highland, where everybody's like, "Oh my God, the glitz and glamour and bullshit." Yeah. And then you got the Hollywood Bowl. You've got the Gibson Amphitheater. All these other shit.
Yeah, like you so can you pay here. You can pay $20. Like last time we were here, on one night we saw Garfunkel and Oates.
Yeah.
Neil Brennan. We saw Chris D'Elia.
Was this at UCB or the Improv? Or something?
At the Comedy Store.
When did we see that?
No, that was last time we were here.
You weren't here.
Joey Diaz. Yeah. Like, it was like just a banger. Whitney Cummings, just a banger lineup. And I was like, how is this? Like, in Australia, you see, because they have to travel so far, it's like $80, $100 to see one comic. And you see all this like huge lineup for $20. No wonder nobody's going to these like smaller ones. Yeah. Like, there's just so many amazing, like, famous comedians you can see.
Yeah, so I did...
That's a bit mean.
No, it's true, though. No,
it's 100% true, because they live so close to here. Joey lives... I mean, we could be at his house in 10 minutes from here. Yeah. Like, he's a very... Joey
Let's Diaz. Go. What are we doing?
And then, like, a lot of comics... I drove by several comics that you've... Like, do you know who Brad Williams is? He's the guy I sent you in the link for the exam. Oh, yes, I do know him.
Yep, I do.
I drove by his place to get here. Like, you know, it's like, and I had him on the podcast and I just went to record at his place. A lot of times I'll go to the comics places because everything is so close here. And what that allows is a lot of opportunities for people who, what's the word I'm looking for? Essentially perform for free or like do open small shows to warm up and stuff like that. I started doing my show at this coffee house. I did it for 8 years straight, or 9 years straight until the place shut down. Wow. And then and I loved doing the show there, and I would get the locals out and it'd be like 60, 70 people in this small little coffee shop, which is great. And then there's the other shows where it's just open mics where comics are testing out material and there's never any real audience.
Exposure. Hey, that's what it's called. I remembered.
Is that the name of the strip club?
Exposure is when you're working
when
for
free.
When
you do
free.
It for free. So
oh,
like,
there you go.
I like to post things like in Australia, like it is a little bit like, oh, you know, we'll pay you an exposure. It's like, oh,
that's
my exposure
that's
cannot pay my bills.
Yeah, no, that is a thing that happens out here. They say like, we'll tag you on Instagram.
It's exposure.
And it's ridiculous. No, it doesn't work. So no. I don't pay certain comics, but that's only because some of the shows I do for free. So I don't charge the audience.
You choose to do them for free, it's totally fine. But when people are always constantly hitting you up, you know, when you...
Yeah.
Like if I was to eat glass, I wouldn't be doing that for free. It's a minimum $400.
Yeah.
To fix the cavity if it does break.
Yeah.
But yeah, like exposure doesn't pay anyone's bills.
Exactly. And my stuff is like, okay, so because we don't have to do anything sort of extravagant, just get up there and talk shit. Like the show last night, I paid nothing for it. Although
exactly.
I did get a bunch of free shots and stuff like that. So that was nice.
Winning.
But the whole thing was, it's a place where it's a dive bar. Nobody really goes there. And if they do, they're usually drunk assholes. Like the non-comics are usually drunk assholes. I was having a conversation with the bartender going over all the people that I've personally seen get banned from there, comedian or otherwise.
Wow.
I mean, some of the biggest hecklers were there. There was a place that was called Big Fish in Glendale, which is towards the valley. It shut down, but at one point it was like on HBO, part of this mini docuseries as being known as the worst open mic in America.
Wow.
And I went there, and there was a crazy situation. I apologize, listeners, because you might have already heard this story before, but there was a guy there who was there so often, his mail would be sent to the bar.
What?
And I went there several times. Guys walk on stage and talk shit to you on stage at you, and they'd be old assholes who don't give a shit about anything. They would, you know, walk. They would go into the restroom, piss with the door open, just so they can continue heckling you.
Really?
Yes. And then, you know, one guy yelled something along the lines of like, just like my shit, your career is going down the drain kind of like material. And just really being awful people.
It's like a really tough gym to train at.
Yeah. And this guy would be so drunk and surly and very sort of like upbeat, but very intrusive. This was right after Halloween. I gave the host the ride to the show and I still had my Friday the 13th mask in the back. And, which is like the hockey mask. And
oh,
then,
we know.
And, so I get there and he puts it on when he gets on the stage and he's making his jokes, blah, 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 moving on. The drunk sees it and he's like, let me try it on. And he goes and he puts it on and he goes, wait, I got an idea. And he goes to the back room and he comes out with a chainsaw.
Know it.
And then
what?
He, yeah,
wait, he just got one from,
well, from the back, and he was like taking photos, pretending to cut people, kind of thing. He's like, ha ha! It's like, wait, wait, this will be funny. We were like, holy fuck, this, no, this is not going well. There was no gas in it, thankfully. After as many attempts, we were so relieved. He goes, I got a better idea. So he goes to the back.
Not enough.
Well, no, he comes back with a rope, a thick rope that you use on a fucking boat. So he comes out with it. He goes, I'm going to show you guys how to make a noose. And he's explaining, he goes, now here's the thing. When it's this many rungs, it's illegal in California. So if you make it less, one less rung than that, it's still technically legal. Isn't that fucking great? I just taught you guys how to make a noose. And there was the next.
I didn't know nooses were illegal, but.
Well, I think there's something weird about, like, where if you would make them for, like, film or for an aesthetic kind of thing, they, you know, there's a certain amount because it's like the strength the strength of the noose or whatever. Exactly. So he's like, hold on. And there was like a lot of excess in it. He brings a machete out from his back. We had no idea what he had there. And just goes,
he can see the weapon.
Yeah, he just cuts the excess off and then just goes around and starts putting a noose on different people. And there's some photos that exist out there of this guy just going around putting nooses on comics while we're on stage. Yeah, that was last night. Was nothing.
I think
like
he's
that,
an out in the open serial killer.
Oh, I mean, I assume he's rehabbed ever since his place closed down. I don't know what he's done since.
He's probably found a new bar.
He's probably making nooses for a living.
Yeah, he might be. He might have been that first guy you guys saw last night. The guy with the jet black hair.
I don't think we were there for the first.
Oh, you guys were lucky. That guy
was that the one with the.
Yes. No. The right before him. So those two guys are sort of known as the guys who go around, who never improve on comedy, but who do a bunch of stuff all the time and don't actually really make jokes. They just keep saying a bunch of things, then being offensive, and then complaining about how you can't be offensive anymore. I'm like, you guys are trying way... Like, you guys
believe...
Back.
No, I better not say that.
No, go ahead.
They were filming Christmas crackers.
Oh, yeah. She was saying, she was like, as people
I
were doing
have them in
jokes
my Christmas cracker book.
Last night, she was like, this is literally from a Christmas cracker. Like, I
all
have...
All three in a row you pulled out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, literally, these are just jokes that we've heard a million times.
Well, that's what it is. A lot of these guys, there was...
he came out and he goes, are you a comic? I go, no. And he left. And I was like, oh, good, because I thought he was going to have a go at me because I didn't laugh.
Yeah, no. He did that. He came out to me afterwards because... We both laughed because he made fun of himself. He said something along the lines of, he acknowledged the fact that he was bombing. So we laughed in the back because of like, ha, at least he's on to himself. And then he comes over and is like, thanks, you guys. You guys were the only ones laughing tonight. I'm like, dude, I'm like, I'll be honest. I just laughed at that one joke. And then I turned around and walked, and he just walked away. I don't know. I had to be honest with him. I didn't want to get his hopes up. A part of me wants him to quit, but at the same time, when you get to that point, I'm like, how much more you got going on? So I've been like, you know,
I was gonna be like, I got them on my Christmas cracker, but he didn't do the conversation thing long enough for me to get there.
See, I don't know what a Christmas cracker is, but I assume it's some
kind of. Oh my
god,
you don't know?
Joke,
it's a cracker.
So
no,
at
Christmas
time.
Oh,
Thanksgiving, whatever, you pull like a cracker and inside
so,
you get
like
a little
one
hat.
Side, I hold other and we pull and it makes a popping sound. It has a toy and a joke and a Christmas hat.
Oh,
like
okay.
A party hat.
Yeah, it's in a toilet roll.
Yeah, it's in like a toilet roll, but it's got the gunpowder goes crack.
Oh, gotcha.
And then you got to fight to get the joke out, and then whoever gets the joke reads the joke and gets the hat.
When you guys get back to Australia, I'm going to Venmo you some money. And I want you to send me back some of this random stuff.
The Christmas crackers?
Have.
Yeah.
I just want to do it over here and just be like, I want to experience this. And in exchange...
I think we could because it was classed as dangerous goods.
Oh, that's...
Oh, no, we'd be fine. We'd just send it.
You can buy them without the powdery stuff anyways.
So. I'll add the powder here. I happen
see,
to
See, you
have
just have to come over to Perth. Perfect. And stay
or
at Mix.
Or if you come here to Australia, we can show you all of these things. We can put on a fake Christmas.
That'd be cute.
I would be so down for that.
Yeah.
And then here's
bag's not
I'll
doing
do.
The roast beef.
Next time you guys are in town, I'll do something stereotypically Hispanic or American for you. We'll
yes.
Although I feel like you've already caught a lot of that since you've been here.
I had a burger last night.
Oh, okay. Is that just like an American
fare? Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Burgers. I mean, we have burgers too, but it's like that's American food.
You come to America
to
eat an American burger.
Wings, by the way, fried stuff.
In San Diego, you're so close to the Mexican border.
I know, it's amazing.
So
I went there. I walked across
to
Tijuana last time.
It's right there. So you can get some of the best fucking Mexican food there. Because here's the thing. Yeah. Mexican food here in America isn't Mexican food in Mexico. That's one thing I will say for you right now. They don't fucking eat rice, beans, and fucking corn flour or flour tortillas, whatever it is. That's not a Mexican thing. That's like a poverty thing. Machete is one lying motherfucker. Which, by the way, I drove by his house.
I live a few blocks from him,
so I'll make sure to run that by him. So here's the thing. If you go to Mexico, it's like sort of like, that's kind of like, you know what, whatever you consider like a comfort food kind of thing or a poverty thing, that's the thing that you do. But they find different ways to like change it up and stuff like that. In Mexico, they eat very different kind of food when you go to certain places. So they don't even like, if you ask for the burrito in certain places, they'll be like, how do I make that? Like, they won't know. Oh, so it's really? Legit like that. But at the same time, that's the only Mexican food I know is fucking, you go to Taco Bell, you order to get a taco, a fucking burrito, hard shell, soft shell, whatever. That's all I know because I'm from out here. But I know for a fact that I would not survive if I went to Mexico. They'd be like, how are you? I'm like, doing good. I start speaking in Spanish. You're like, the fuck is that? It's like you trying to speak French, you know, like you understand most of the words. You can be confident in your ability to speak the language, but if you don't know two or three words in that one sentence you're trying to make, it'll just fucking throw everything apart. Yeah. It's insane.
You're saying that the foods are different in Mexico compared to here. What do you think Australians eat? Like, is it still the shrimp on the barbie over here?
That's the joke that people say. I've never questioned what you guys eat over there.
I've never had a shrimp on the barbie.
I just assumed it was a lot of steak. Yeah, I just assume it's a lot. That's true, steak. Like, that would be my thing.
I mean, we're big eaters. We've got, like, over, 2-3 million sheep in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
Probably more than that. But, yeah, we're massive meat eaters.
Our sheep, we eat a lot of cows. You guys eat a lot of sheep.
Yeah, I mean, I grew up on a cattle sheep station in South Australia. We had, 3,000 sheep and a couple of hundred head of cattle and about 200 horses. So, yeah, the whole farm was full of meat. And we always ate meat every day.
Do you guys eat horses?
Yeah.
Oh.
Kangaroo as well.
Oh, I see.
You can't buy horses in the supermarket.
Oh, I see. She had to give that disclaimer. While she's gone, you can use that microphone. So you guys can both beatbox and rap battle.
Yeah.
No, so I never really questioned it. I mean, that is kind of like a thought that I had. I was like, I want to ask so many questions, but I don't want to.
Do it.
Well, seafood's really big in Australia too, because we have the whole coastline. Australia, yeah. The country's covered in ocean, so we have a lot of seafood.
Are barbecues popular in America?
Yes, they are. Barbecues, yeah, very much so.
Yeah, same.
Super.
Same in Australia.
And then we have
You guys have barbecue with the sticky sauce and stuff though, like barbecue sauce.
Yeah, but that's just because certain things aren't marinated well enough, so when they cook it, it's just. And also, people tend to I like eating my meat medium rare. So it's like you don't need as much sauce for something like that. Same. And then they, you know, but people don't get that. So they'll slather it up with whatever they can on that. And it's gross. But so
the food has been great though, Jose. Yeah. I've loved just about every meal that I've had here.
Next time you're in town, I'm going to make you guys some carne asada. It's just essentially just thin slices of cow meat. And
yeah, right. Is that like a jerky, like a jerky meat or?
No, I mean.
Cured.
Not so much. It's marinated, so it's not.
Yeah.
Like that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
If you guys don't have your own podcast, you should just get one started.
You reckon?
Just
like a 3-way podcast and just talk about our trip to the US. That'd probably be a good one.
Would you come on our podcast?
Of course. Nice. Yes. Happy to. I'll hop on Skype with you guys, or I'll fly out there if I need to. I'm gonna like, hey, so I gotta go to Australia for a few days, recording a podcast out there. You know it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would love to do comedy out there. I'm curious to see what it would be like.
Are we recording?
Yeah, we're recording.
Yeah, like your stuff would still work. It would be good to come and do that. Why not come on out?
It's one thing when I saw you guys, because I didn't know whether or not you were actual audiences, because you were not getting up on stage that night. So
no, I got up. I had 4 shows the night before. That was coming into last night was our night off. We were there to support Rachel because we met her when we were out here and she was like, I'm doing something, and it was close by. We had to eat. We're like, oh, fuck it. We'll just go. And then we got there and it was like, that's all I do is watch stand-up.
And I felt so bad. I was like, they're getting ready to leave. And I was like, oh, just if you could just watch me real quick.
Best decision ever.
Yeah. I was just thinking to myself the whole time, like, I haven't been up in about a week because I was sick, so I had to cancel a couple of gigs that I wanted to do.
So I was having withdrawal, and at the same time, this wasn't what you would call a very giving room. Mm-hmm. And this is the kind of room where you don't go in there to get a great response. You don't even go in there to get a response. You just go in there to get your material out, kind of shake the nerves, and like have what you would call a controlled bat set, like where you know you're going to have you know you're not going to do well, but you do it for building up the stamina or the strength of enduring the silence or whatever.
You're going to the gym, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I was like, all right, you know, they seem like somewhat responsive people. I'll ask them to stick around. And they did, and they responded, so I was happy.
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry I didn't make it last night. I was getting ready for San Diego sets, writing all clean jokes for that.
I still haven't done that. That's very stressful for me.
No, it'd be right.
Clean sets, yeah.
Why clean?
That was a request.
We're doing Comedy Heights, and that...
So here's the thing, you guys. I was having a really bad coughing fit, and they've been kind enough to supply me with plenty of water and time to essentially convulse on their floors while I try to recover.
I'm just glad we didn't need a body bag, Jose.
It was insane. I was looking up. Everything in here is white. I thought I was already in heaven. I was ready to go.
Or a mental institution.
I mean, that happens too. I mean, you never know. I was spasming with how bad I was coughing. And then... But you guys let me stick around, and I appreciate that. So we're going to wrap up this episode. But before we do, you were just talking about another project you guys have going on. So why don't you guys just talk about that real quick?
Oh, well, that's just the show that Simone, myself, and another fellow called John Pinder are doing called Life. The three of us are just doing a pretty raw show. We've had one already, and it went quite well. And we're looking forward to doing some regional shows around Western Australia when we get back. So, I mean, that's just one of three shows that Simone's doing at the moment, plus her radio and TV as well. So, but for me, it's the main.
It's the best. They're like getting to do shows with like your best friends is like the amazing. Gotcha. So it's like, you know, like if you get to go and do like out of town stuff, it just feels like a holiday. You stand on stage for like 20 minutes, whatever.
But you educate John on our, because Simone's a business woman who has been in business for nearly 1.5 decades. So we are learning off her. Like, she teaches John and I.
Obviously, yeah. She's been doing it since she was a toddler.
Yeah, obviously, I was a toddler. That's one of my my jokes about my age. But anyway, I've had stores.
Like Nico.
Yeah, like I had a gothic store for like a decade and a half.
It was the go-to store in Perth if you were a goth. It was called MAME, and all the goths would be like, put their time aside to go to this one store, and it shut down. I didn't know this one then.
Yeah, I was
very pissed off.
But it went just to online, and I just sold it last year. Last year. So it's owned now by Club Freak.
I bought my first pair of demonias from there.
So what I'm hearing so far is you're going to buy my flight to go visit.
Yeah. Let's not go that far. Miko's got the money. But yeah, it's so I guess when I went into comedy, I went into it with a business mind and could see where you make the money, and that's why we're doing rural stuff, because you know, you can get people to buy shows, and it's good to go places.
But also,
where
the rural places don't get shows, so
yeah, and it's fabulous. Like, it's so fun. I love touring, and there's so many country towns that like they're so happy to have you. We're so happy to be there, like to just get to meet new people and like, you know, have a few drinks with them, and yeah, it's fun. I love it. It feels like life's a holiday. No, that's what it feels like. Definitely.
And now you guys are getting ready to go to San Diego. I'm sorry, that's what you guys were talking about before. How are you doing clean jokes tonight?
Yes.
Or tomorrow.
Friday night at the brewery, yeah.
So that's like called Comedy Heights, but I'm doing shows at the Madhouse as well, which will not be clean.
I love the Madhouse.
Yeah, so that'll be...
I've asked the Madhouse for a spot. I'm wanting to hear back from them. Madhouse, get in touch, please.
But I'm doing like two shows on Friday, two on Saturday, and I'm doing one on Wednesday.
Oh, gotcha.
Clean material coming.
My clean material is currently non-existent, but we'll get there. No, I've done clean shows before. It's not my forte, but I'll be right.
Here's what you do when you're doing clean material. So the other guy, I was just... this guy, we were going at it for hours, and then I started sucking in, you know, like, all you gotta do is take out the words.
Oh, yeah, right.
Could you go and beep, mother, beep, blah, 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 beep, on a
censor yourself.
Beep.
Yeah,
it's perfect.
I got told on a writing class that if you can do clean jokes, you can be used in any club anywhere. What I'm going for.
Well, you know, the Laugh Factory here, Jamie, who owns the Laugh Factory, he was so offended by this one comedian because he does
Jamie, who owns the Laugh Factories, wherever they are in the world, he always sticks around for the mics because he's very selective about who he passes there. And comics will be doing the whole audition thing for years before he approves them, unless they just fucking shine so bright the first time he'll pass them. But this guy, I want to say it was like in the 70s, went up there and was just so rude and swearing like crazy and being an asshole. And he thought that swear words made things funny. And then Jamie was like, he's not saying anything. He's just swearing a lot. So he created a rule where he's saying, if you want to audition for this, you have to be clean the first time. If you're funny without swearing, we'll bring you back again. And then you can swear the second time and third time, whatever. When you're past, fucking go crazy. Yeah. But he wants to make sure that you're capable of doing it with that.
Actual jokes, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So yeah. People rely too much on it. There's certain things where I even learned this watching like a lot of the comics where when they're doing something physical or something loud or something, and you realize, oh, they didn't say anything funny. They just did something that like caught your attention, and like they jingle their keys in front of you and you're like a fucking child just excited about it. Mm-hmm. But they didn't say anything of substance or anything funny. They just found a way to get the laugh. And that's what you avoid with that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So you'll be able to find clean comedy. So, I mean, you guys have been funny here. You know, I just played this podcast for them. I think I did most of the swearing, so.
Yeah.
Probably good. We're doing good. Yeah.
But we're kind of new to the scene, so we're learning. We come here and we learn from people like yourself, Jose. So,
well, I hope I'm not the example, because I'm not what you would call a great comic. No, I'm confident in my ability. I just think that everybody, it's so diverse here. Mm. I mean, there's so many different, because there is no one formula to like grow. And I would just say you have an advantage by developing your comedy styles outside of LA, and I think that that'll be more beneficial when you come here.
Yeah.
And plus, here's the thing, all of you are just so pretty. All of you just have such a, like, your accents. I'm just like, talk more. There was a moment where I wasn't even on my own podcast. I wanted to put my mic down and just watch you guys. I'm like, you know what? If we could just get some popcorn in here, this would be great. I'd love this show.
I'll tell you what, Jose, we'll come over your place tonight and we'll read you a bedtime story. How about that?
Oh, please.
Oh, we can go get lunch.
I want you guys to, please. Just give me a phone call and, like, sing me tell me a story. I feel like just tell me about your day. Something you're going to say, I'm going to be like, that sounds amazing.
You think that, but the funny thing is when I've been doing comedy out here, it takes a minute or two, I think, for people to get used to the accent.
Yeah. Oh, no, that's 100% true. But again, because of Flight of the Conchords and the influx of like comics from other countries and stuff like that.
Got an advantage.
Yeah, for sure.
I had a guy come up to me and he's like, I really like your accent. Have you used your accent like to get laid, like thinking that I was going to just use my accent to get laid, right?
That actually happens.
And I said, are you serious? Of course I have, right? And he goes, oh, what did you say? I said, how much for sex?
That is fucking great.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would just go, I could picture, I mean, I don't know, just, I would go into an Outback Steakhouse and they'd be like, oh my God, it's you, you know, Mr.
You're
Outback.
Really here. Yeah. Yeah.
Mr. Outback, you know, just.
Yeah. That's not enough.
He wrestled. Start,
this is enough.
Just manage, I just show up and just start running the business. They won't be able to say anything to you.
Yeah, I'll bring a blow up crocodile or something like that.
Please. Oh my God.
Sex doll.
So
yeah, blow up crocodile sex doll.
Now, I'm going to use an actual photo, you guys, but I'm also going to release a separate photo that's going to be Photoshopped to be the most stereotypical
Australian
thing. Australians.
Cool. You know what? Okay, so what was your friend calling you? Like a bean something?
And
you
called beaner.
And you called him a crumpet.
Yeah.
You can call us Vegemite.
Yeah.
Hey Vegemite, how you doing?
Vegemite
for this one, eh?
Sounds like I have a yeast infection.
She's small but Vegemite-y.
Yeah.
Vegemite.
Vegemite. Yeah, she is. Don't mess with
Have you
Jane.
Tried Vegemite?
I don't know what that is.
That's like the thing that's we from Australia. I know we should have.
You should have. You know what? You should offer some snacks at your show and call it a Vegemite.
Yeah, like Vegemite. It's like a spread, right? But it's black. It looks like tar. It's very salty, and people.
You've got to ease your way into Vegemite. I think like at the tip of the butter knife on your toast with your butter. Just start off there. Don't smother it. You want to see butter.
Okay.
In for beginners.
Yeah. I'm not
Vegemite, it'll make your spunk go clunk.
Oh my God. I'm sold. I mean, I was hesitant about the black tar. The black tar version of it just sounds like very unappealing.
So it it actually was made by somebody who used to work at a brewery, and they didn't know what to do with all the leftover yeast, and they found a way to make a spread out of yeast. And it sounds like, when you think about it, it's actually quite disgusting. But we eat it.
Is it vegan?
Yeah,
there you
I think
go.
So. Unless the color, you know what? I don't even know.
Let's just say it's vegan.
I mean, Oreos are vegan and they're black, so.
Yeah.
The thing is with Vegemite, you can use it to bog up your car too, so it's two rolls there, yeah.
I like it. I like it.
But I like to have it on my crumpets.
But she's also part English, Pom, so yeah.
See, I just thought the crumpets was like you were using slang for your vagina again. I was like, all right.
I could kill a crumpet, I guess. But no, and I actually like the British crumpets.
Yeah. Mm. You're a fan.
The round ones. Do you like crumpets?
I don't know what... I mean, I've heard the word. I don't know. See, this is why
so
I got to explore.
So you guys don't have crumpets
so they're,
over here?
So they're like a circle?
They could have them. I just don't know.
Well, they come in a circle or a square.
The only thing I recently like learned about and tried were Tim Tams.
Yeah, is they're that, good. Yeah. But did you do the coffee thing?
No.
You didn't bite the top and the bottom of the Tim Tam and suck your coffee through?
No, I will have to do... All right, so now I
you
know...
You didn't really have a Tim Tam. No, I'm joking. Okay. I'm joking.
This is a crumpet.
Okay. Oh, that actually looks
so
pretty good.
So you would love them, and the butter goes through the holes, and then you can rip them, and you put your honey, maple syrup, Vegemite.
Okay, I'll try that. We're gonna have the most. Here's the thing. Then when you guys come here, I'll wear a sombrero.
Yes.
I'll do something really super, like I'll just proper. Fucking have a guitar and go dun 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 dun. Like,
and that's Vegemite.
We'll lean into it. Oh, okay, that's gross, but I will try it.
You haven't even smelt or tasted it, and you already said
it'll
it's
stick
gross.
To the reef of your mouth, and you'll be like.
I mean, it just looks like you're doing blackface with bread. I mean, it's like I don't know if I want to.
He's turning Vegemite racist.
Yeah, it's a bit. No, I'll give it a try. All right, so
we'll try your black spread.
Well, let's go to wrap it up right here. Let's go ahead and do the Instagrams or however you want people to follow you.
Oh, sure. If you just search for Simone Springer Comedy, I will come up on all of those things.
Yeah, I'm @MissObscene_official on the IG Instagram.
And you can check me at Dogfather Comedy or Mick Gledhill on Instagram as well.
Perfect. And I'll also tag all of you.
But thanks for having us.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks for doing this. I'm glad. We talked for 3 minutes outside of a bar, and then next thing you know, you guys invited me over. These backpacks could have been filled with murder things.
It did cross my mind, but you're entering a three Australians' house.
That's true. I feel like
we have our boomerangs back out back.
They're out back. Ah, see what you did there. All right, you guys know how to follow me at I am Jose Chavez. If you want to catch past episodes, they are going to be all cataloged on awkwardlysocialcomedy.com. I don't think I have any shows I got to plug, but if you want to check them out, they're awkwardlysocialcomedy.com/shows. I think the only ones that I know of right now off the top of my head are that I'm going to be at the Ice House in Pasadena on July 5th. Yeah, July 5th and then July 16th. I'm going to be at the Ontario Improv. If you guys want to catch any other shows, hit me up, josechavezcomedian@gmail.com. Thank you so much for doing this. Give yourselves a round of applause.
Woo! Go Australia.
Thanks.
Thank you so much for having us.
For sure. Now let's all compare vaginas.
Woo!